DW.
Cairo, Delhi, LA, all heavily congested cities with poor air quality. But did you know that people living in Bristol in the UK, last year's European Green Capital, live with some of the worst air pollution in Europe? In fact, more than 100 people die every year here from related illnesses. I'm in the city centre in the middle of morning rush hour with pollution at its worst.
What's the worst thing about air pollution in this city?
Not being able to see or smell things properly.
I'm not here Monday to Friday, but I know when I am, it's horrific.
How does it make you feel knowing that the air that you're breathing when you're walking around and cycling and everything is actually really poor quality?
Quite unhealthy.
I live on the main road and you can sometimes sense this kind of air pollution in the air. It does make you feel, question, what is it actually doing to your health?
It's not ideal when people are trying to get around in the greenest way they know how, but things could be about to change. Across the globe, high-tech and motor giants like Ford, Google and Uber are looking for an answer. But one of the centres of research is right here. I've come to the Bristol Robotics Laboratory, where fact is far better than fiction. Here, the development of driverless vehicles, I'm told, will ease congestion, reduce emissions and save lives. Graham Parkhurst is Professor of Sustainable Mobility at the University of the West of England, where this laboratory is based. Can you tell me how driverless vehicles are going to reduce traffic and save lives?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, at the moment, these are propositions, they're ideas that they can be good for the environment. My role in the project is to really understand better to what extent those promises will actually have real benefits.
France has been testing driverless vehicles for some time now. La Rochelle is home to a number of shuttles. How successful has this City Mobile 2 experiment been there?
A number of localities and projects have been testing what we might call pod vehicles. These are slow speed shuttle vehicles for pedestrian areas. They're not really road going vehicles in most cases. And indeed, they haven't passed necessarily the safety test conditions to go on public roads. And the tests have been at slow speeds, around 15, 20, 25 kilometres an hour maximum. So there are different ways of viewing the future autonomous vehicles. That's one vision. Another one, of course, which is being led by the major motor manufacturers, is for mainstream cars to gradually develop autonomous capabilities. And that's a very different question with many more issues to be faced. So it's there that we are focusing our primary effort on autonomous vehicles for the public highway.
Tony Pipe is Professor of Robotics and Autonomous Systems here at the Bristol Robotics Laboratory. Now, you're going to talk me through how these cars actually operate. We're in what's called a wildcat vehicle. I'm surrounded by buttons and monitors and cables and headphones, and it looks like a cross between a cockpit and a games console. Now, I'm assuming that this beast of a machine isn't what you have in mind when it comes to driverless vehicles in busy city centres.
Well, this is an experimental vehicle. That's why you have so much claptrap around in the cab area. It's a short wheelbase Land Rover, so it's not amazingly eco-friendly. We're thinking of an electric vehicle of some sort. It could be an electric vehicle on the road, or it could be an electric vehicle travelling around perhaps inside a shopping precinct.
So what will be different between those cars that you see in the future, those autonomous vehicles, and this vehicle here?
The final vehicles that you will probably see and be able to buy. There is a strong connection between other automotive sources like electricity rather than diesel and petrol and the fact that the vehicle is autonomous, but they don't have to be connected. They just are happening at about the same time as each other.
And is the drive for that for environmental purposes?
Yes. I mean, even if you didn't go to an electric vehicle, it's very likely that fuel will be saved by autonomous vehicles because they drive more smoothly, more safely and more carefully.
So there'll be greener vehicles, better for the environment?
Definitely, for the reasons I'd mentioned. I mean, even if we don't change to electric-powered cars, there will already be improvements in pollution levels, but it's quite likely that the two will get combined.
Well, that's really good to know. And how far into the future are these cars?
It's quite likely there will be a fair number of autonomous vehicles, probably electric-powered, by 2030 or so.
Wow, it's a long way off, and presumably an even further way off for cities such as Delhi, where congestion is a huge problem.
City driving is by a long way the hardest, and it actually is the target for this project and some others. It's much more likely to happen, first of all, on highways. So that 20, 30-ish type of prediction. Is that nonetheless, though, for a fully autonomous vehicle that would be able to handle perhaps the city centre of Delhi? I'm not sure.
Would it be able to handle the city centre in Bristol?
That's much more likely, yes.
So I've left behind the clinical lab and its precise experiments, and I've come to a beautiful waterway in the centre of Bristol to meet with local government officer Suzanne Wilson. She's from City Innovation, Bristol Futures. Can you tell me what the department City Innovation actually does?
We look at future technology and see how it can be used to improve Bristol, to help us be happy, healthier and a resilient city.
Bristol has a terrible reputation when it comes to traffic congestion and emissions-related illnesses and deaths. How do you expect driverless vehicles to improve our air and our streets?
Unfortunately, there's no single action we can do that will improve our air quality, but hopefully driverless cars will be one of them. The biggest change that it will make is hopefully to move us from a model of single car ownership to shared use.
So we could witness driverless vehicles on the streets of Bristol in just a few decades, making the roads greener, safer, better. And for pedestrians and cyclists that use these streets every day, this environmental revolution cannot come a moment too soon.
If I were to tell you in about 30 years' time, there will be driverless vehicles in this city and all over the world, which will be electric, which will reduce emissions, reduce congestion, improve air quality. What do you think about that?
That seems like a great step forward.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. If that can kind of help with congestion and also stop carbon emissions going into the atmosphere, I think that's definitely a positive step forward.
That's a lot better. I don't know how I feel about driverless cars and not being people that's driving them, but for that benefit, then yeah, that's better.
Anything that gets the cars out of the city centre is great. And if people don't want to drive and they can then get a clean vehicle to take them where they need to go, even better.
This report was brought to you by DW.